Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam.
Well, in the first half, we have one of the best Jim Carolla trumpet mashups ever. Also, we'll do the news, take a couple of phone calls. But first, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb, a.k.a. Be Real. We invite you to come check out the illest, highest, most craziest podcast in the world, the Dr. Green Thumb Podcast. Come check out our random-ass conversations along with our crazy challenges. We got some of the dopest, iconic, and legendary guests in the world. We invite you to come catch a sesh, the Dr. Green Thumb Podcast. Listen and subscribe to us at Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Come check out the Dr. Green Thumb Show. Doctor's orders, baby.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brian Kilmeade. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, Old Yeller. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian?
That sounds exciting.
We got a mashup of my dad playing trumpet to play that somebody tweeted to me that I just read the tweet and started laughing. So I thought, oh, that'll be
good sign.
That'll be a good sign. So we'll do that. And then I'll play another version of the song done by Elvis.
Boy.
That a lot of people don't know about.
I wonder if we'll be able to tell the difference.
Well, maybe not from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So that'll moisten your taste buds. I had something I forgot to talk about vis-a-vis the travel odyssey from last weekend, which is, I've often said backpacks for me, too many hidden pouches, but more so interior, at least the one I have, too many flaps. There's flaps, like inside there's little holders and Velcros and flaps.
I think that's a feature of roast beef.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be. But I do this thing, and I'm going to have to modify it a little bit. But I am very, there's two things I've figured out when I travel. When I pull the ticket and park at LAX, I do not want... I don't want that ticket to leave the car.
Sure.
Now, a lot of people have things like, well, you leave in the car, what if someone breaks in and steals your ticket?
Then you've got bigger problems than the ticket.
And what do they want to do? Then pay slightly less and destroy my car? And then who are these
who is this clientele who, you know, volitionally pulls into the parking structure, pulls a ticket, and then looks around for cars with a ticket that's 3 hours earlier than theirs or something? I don't know what that is, but
not a great heist.
The ticket. The thing about the ticket is it goes right from pulling it to putting it in the cup holder.
Right.
I do not want that thing to – I never want that anxiety of paying the maximum, whatever. Right. Number one. Number two, keys. I normally don't want the keys to go with me on the trip.
Yeah.
I do not want the possibility of these things ending up in some hotel in Baltimore because they fell out of my butt.
A little more unusual, but okay.
I figured out that putting the keys on the car tire, which once again I don't care about, but because the cars are so smart now, the car thinks you're nearby with the fob and it runs the battery and leaves the car open and does whatever. So I do take the keys with me. And I always put them in the small upper pouch.
You got flops everywhere, man.
Of the backpack. Well, I got pouches and flaps. The flaps are inside the bigger pouch, and then the smaller pouches. You know, my backpack has 7 to 9 pouches. Also, I do this thing all the time where I unzip what I think is the master one. I think I do the big one, and I'm looking, where's my shit? It's the one right behind
it's
it.
It's like a nesting doll.
We were pulling into LAX on, you know, it strikes me that when you're deprived of sleep, you fuck up, but you don't fuck up as much as you fuck up, but you think you fucked up more because of the sleep thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll always have this anxiety.
There's no doubt.
I left this shit in my hotel room. And so we're getting off the plane, and I was like, I'm going to fetch my car keys, and I unzip the small pouch, and nothing for some reason. And then I started futzing around the multi-main pouches, nothing. And then I was really like pulling stuff inside out and looking, I couldn't find anything. Then I had the anxiety of they're trying to get us off the plane. They've fallen between the seats.
Oh, right.
Boy. Now this move. This is the worst position in life to be in. When you're on your hands and knees checking under your seat and the last person is getting off the flight. And you know once you get off the flight, there's
That's
no
it.
Getting back on that flight. So you got one shot at these keys that may have fallen onto your lap or out of your pants or whatever it is. Searching, searching, searching. Cannot find the keys on the floor, cannot find them in the backpack. And now,
complicating the floor possibility is the fact that takeoff, landing, whatever, those keys are going to slide. If in fact, they made contact with the floor, there's no guarantee they'll be in your proximity.
No, but I think I reached for them after we got to the gate, or at least started looking for them. So I'm thinking they got to be somewhere. Can't find them. Now, we got Chris. We got Mike. We got Mike's car at the Wally Park. We got my car at LAX. We have to hustle over here to do a podcast, and I have no car keys.
Oh.
This is going to throw things off monumentally. I don't know. Where's the extra cassette?
It's the
Who's
marathon.
Home? How can I get them? Blah, 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 blah. And I get out of the plane. Mike's been waiting. He wants to know what the delay is.
Right.
He doesn't know I'm searching for the keys. He's there. I go, Mike, I have no car keys. I don't know where they went. I put them in my backpack. I never take them out of my backpack once we're on the road. But who knows? Maybe unzipped it and they slid out or something. Don't know. And Mike does what Mike does. He goes, oh, give me that. He opens the backpack. He goes to the main pouch, slides his hand in on the other side of this hard cardboard flap with the Velcro and just pulls the keys out.
Oh,
and I was just
August
like, oh,
the rescue.
Thank fucking God. I don't know how they got into the big pack. I don't know what's up with the flap, but I'm going to have to work out a little better system.
Yeah, you know what you need? My mom, one of her many sort of sicknesses is sending me tote bags year round. I just found the greatest new tote, and she won't listen to me when I say there are no more room. There's no more room for totes.
What do you need a tote at this point?
I just may need to give you one of Marlis's totes. It's just a bag.
I need a fanny pack.
That's done
where
and
I'm
done.
At. Do you have a fanny pack?
So it's come to this.
I have 3 fanny packs.
I need a fanny pack.
Okay.
I'm doing it. I'm like the senior who wears the giant plastic sunglasses over the reading glasses. Yeah. I no longer care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Judge just society.
You're just in a utility.
Well, it doesn't have to be one of those, like, commemorative Kenny Chesney fanny pack. It could just be a fanny pack. It doesn't have to be like a look at me fanny pack.
I want a fanny pack.
Done.
So please, please mule that in next show. All right.
Oh, look what intern Ryan's holding
up. Ooh. Can I use that fanny pack? Yeah. Is it mine? Did I own one?
Did a sponsor send it over?
Yeah, so my girlfriend got me a Lululemon gift card.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Popped it for my birthday. I popped in, and I was like, man, there's nothing really in my size, whatever. And then I saw the fanny pack, and I got it specifically so that when I go to the movies and I go in those recliner chairs, I literally lose my items every time.
That's a big ticket item. Don't take his fanny pack. That was probably an $85 Lululemon fanny pack.
You're not good enough.
Yeah, I'll get you one.
Please.
Okay.
And by the way, that is the most first world problem I've ever heard. Starts with the Lululemon gift card, then it goes into reclining when I'm watching movies. Yeah. And but it's true. Yeah. That's what happened to me. I went to the movies, or so I thought, and stuff falls out. All right. So somebody tweeted me a song, 2001 Space Odyssey. And then he said, you ought to mash this up with Jim Carolla.
Oh.
So I told Dawson, have at it. It'll make sense as soon as you hear it. Then the Elvis version. You guys know the Elvis version?
No.
No.
Dawson didn't either. Elvis in Vegas. Live.
Oh, like presenting Elvis.
Oh, I think I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
Some weird Kraftwerk version.
Thanks to Kurt Farmer for this.
Is proud.
What
now the Elvis live version, which to put yourself back in 1976. I'm sure people made fun of everyone who went to see Elvis in the 70s in Vegas because they were hipsters, but we all wish we did it.
Is this a sound alike? Or is this the song?
There's a version of it that's a little more on the nose, but with 2 minutes to prep, I just told Dawson to find the Elvis version, so this may be a little different.
Yeah, this is a slightly different arrangement. But then it goes into CC Rider.
How can you tell?
Here comes Elvis.
Wow, viva Las Vegas.
This is CC Rider.
Oh, it is.
It'd be a fun show to go to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sitting in
the back. The boys in the brass.
I was like Melissa Rivers, man. I was just running the backstage, running in all Paul Anka and the like. All right.
Wow.
This, you guys tell me if this resonates with you at all, and if we can make a connection between this and a life not so incredibly well led. Mm. Like, not a lot of stuff on your resume. Mm-hmm. I know there's a version of this, like, I went to high school with Tom Brady, as an example.
We've heard
it.
You
know what I mean? But I started to realize that...
you used to be higher on my resume.
Well, that's good. You want it to slough off. He won't let it go away.
Yeah, right.
He should have been retired 9 years ago. But I realized my dad has a successful friend whose name is Ron Rubin. And Ron Rubin is a really good clarinet player and played with the Philadelphia Philharmonic.
Wow.
And I've now realized that almost every time I visit my dad, Ronnie Rubin's name comes up, you know, and he's always... And then I started realizing, I think my whole family kind of does this. You know, my grandparent, my grandmother would do it a lot with Emery Kenrick's an engineer, and he works at UCLA. You know, it's like a lot of other talk about other people and Ronnie. And there was always some version. It was kind of reflective or glory, you know, in proximity of glory. Like, and Ronnie thought I was one of the funniest guys he'd ever met. So Ronnie, and he was, you know, he's a world-class clarinet player, but he's a funny guy.
He'd
know
funny.
And so but it's like, yeah, he went off to play the clarinet for the Philadelphia Philharmonic.
Right.
You did not. He did this thing. He left. You know what I mean? Like,
and your stories are all proxy.
And it's like, it kept coming up and coming up about, you know, Ronnie Rubin is this world-class player, and Ronnie and me, we did this, and I met him at the Catskills, and Ronnie, and I realized with my family, I ended up talking about other people's success, they knew somehow.
Yeah.
Sometimes neighbors, Dorothy Gravitch moved to Paradise, California, and now she makes her own candles, you know, and it's like, okay, she did that.
What did you do?
Yeah, and I know everyone kind of knows the high school jock version of this, which I played against this guy in this game or whatever it is. But do you guys, there's got to be more of that amongst the losers than there is with the folks that are, you know, a little more substantial.
Yes, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that for two people who are grasping as hard as they can to find someone successful in their orbit, they thought zero of you.
I was going to say, once you came around there, they really distanced themselves.
It would have been so easy to say, oh, my son, and then to slough off some of that credit.
Yeah, I doubt you come up amongst their friends as often as Dorothy Gravitch
No,
it doesn't make any sense.
She wrote a children's book. She didn't illustrate it, but she did the five words per page. You know, the twins jumped on the bed.
Right.
The twins fell on their head. Turned the page.
Yeah.
You know, she
and the doctor
she did
said
that. Yes, I've definitely talked way more about Dorothy Gravitch's children's book than any of my New York Times bestsellers. That's for sure. Yeah,
it seems like an easy easy win for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Effort.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the one in my household, my dad was a year younger than Keith Hernandez in high school, and my dad played center, and Keith, of course, was the quarterback. He was a great athlete, played professional baseball for 14.
Yeah.
Oh, you know him from Seinfeld.
That's exactly who I know him from. But didn't you just say quarterback?
He played quarterback in high school because he was a great athlete. He played, even when you're in high school, you play every fucking
catcher
sport.
For the Mets, right? Or
no,
first base.
Because he's a gold glove first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, he came up often.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry and George helped him move.
That's right.
Did you have any of that in your family, Gina? I mean,
well,
your dad was kind of a celeb.
That's what I was going to say. By proxy, we knew everybody. We knew all the athletes. We knew all the local hometown news talent because my dad was on the news. So there was a lot of that, but it's not what you're talking about. They were essentially coworkers in a way, so it wasn't as egregious. My mom met a couple of her favorite actors from All My Children in 1987, and we still hear about that. Phoebe Cunningham, Cliff, and Palmer.
Gina, you could have gone with that naming. We would have believed you. We're totally on board with All My Children.
We're still hearing about how they hit it off so tremendously.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's name comes up now and again, but he hosted the Oscars.
Sure.
You know, I bring it up. My parents don't bring it up. But yeah, my grandmother's big one was Jules Mandel, who did some acting at a junior college, was a professor at a junior college, if they have professors, and I think speaks Yiddish and German and English, and I think trained his dog in Yiddish or maybe German.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
That was always something to get into.
But you know what? I think the Jewish version of this is the exact opposite, which is why I'm having a hard time coming up with these things, because my mom will see someone on TV and go, Gina, you know him?
Oh,
I don't.
Right.
I've never met them. No, you know him. I'm sure you met him at one of your fancy. No, I haven't. So
well,
that's what I get a lot.
Right. Oh, now you're reminding me of the time when, God, I don't know, whenever Trump took office and my mom was worried about how it was going to destroy her life, although it's not like she ran a manufacturing warehouse or anything.
The
government
industry.
Contract. Right?
Yeah, she had nothing going on, but she was worried about him. And I said, you know, I know him a little bit, and I don't think you need to worry about him. And she went, you don't know him. And I was like, I do. I've worked with him a little bit. I've had some interactions with him. Yeah, but you don't know him. And I was saying, like, are you saying I don't know what's in his heart?
Yeah. No, you don't know the
No. She was saying you don't know the president.
See,
now who? Now I get Trump not popular, but it was really her just talking me out, her son out of knowing the president of the United States
shit.
Of America.
Any Jewish parent would have dined out on that for four years.
This never paid for a drink
exactly.
Again.
Now, yeah, you're right. They could have used me at some point in my career, but we had to talk about Ronnie Rubin. Member of the Philadelphia Philharmonic since 1967.
You still there?
How is that possible?
Made the cover of Saxophone Journal in 1998. You have that framed in your office.
Yeah, yeah. speaking of classical music, I'm going to connect all the dots and musicians. I think this is more along the lines where you're talking about than the Keith Hernandez thing, because I was always kind of thrown in. It was a joke. I had a girlfriend a long time ago, many years ago, probably not the true love of my life. Her dad would never – I didn't see him that often because he wasn't in California. When we did – wouldn't shut the fuck up about Walter Murphy. He knew Walter Murphy.
Right.
I know Walter Murphy. Walter Murphy and I did a song together. If you don't know who Walter Murphy is.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth Beethoven.
I think my dad could play to Walter Murphy.
This is better than Spake Zarathustra.
Kind of one-hit wondery.
No.
More hits than
Well, Walter Murphy went on.
I know the name, and I feel like he's bigger than this one song.
Walter Murphy is richer than everyone you know combined, because Walter Murphy ended up doing
Hold on, I know Donald Trump.
All the music for, that's a good point. Actually, that might still count. All the music for Family Guy.
Oh,
what?
Really?
Yeah,
he
many
did, like,
years
the
later. He does. Yeah, he does the song.
That's
amazing. He does all the music, and he made a. He did pretty well. But
odd.
For many years of dating this lovely creature, her dad. Oh, Walter Murphy. Yeah, Walter Murphy used to do music. All right, we get it.
Yeah, it's.
What did that mean to someone in 1997?
Nothing, and I don't even. Again, if you find yourself doing that too much. And not talking about your own, you know, my dad ran into Ronnie Rubin at the Catskills in like 1951 or something. And
I never heard that part before. I didn't listen closely.
And then they left. This is kind of my Cindy Crawford was born in DeKalb, Illinois. And then she left.
Right.
Then she left.
Never to be heard from again in that town.
She was born there, and then she turned 15 and a half, and she's never come back again.
Right.
She now lives in Malibu. So this is really a victory for Malibu, not a victory for DeKalb, Illinois, which they didn't like me saying that when I played the University of DeKalb, Illinois. But
had to be said.
It had to be said. Just like on stage, I'd explain to the partisan crowd in Anchorage, that the fresh-caught salmon, about the same as I get from Costco.
Wow.
I can't believe you didn't get run out
on
a rail.
You had the guts.
They were upset.
It was close.
it was very... Close. Turned the entire room.
Oof.
The bartenders rarely get involved, but I could hear it coming from behind the bar. But I took a stand.
Did you get them back?
You know, stand-up comedy is not a pop. Oh, that's kind of a popularity contest. All right.
Speaking of bartenders, line one has a
line one. Dan, 48, from Florida.
Mihal. So, I was out last night at a restaurant, bar, place I frequent. I was with the wife, and we're chatting with the 21-year-old bartender about funny pickup lines. And my best pickup line, silly joke one, is, how much do you charge for premature ejaculation? Because I think I owe you $50. So,
hope the kids were with you.
So I'm proud of myself. I'm thinking that's funny, right? The super woke manager is nearby and loses her mind. Now, bear in mind, the bartender I know. I know her personally. There was nobody nearby. This was not an earshot of anybody. And it was like,
wait a minute. You say to the bartender, who you know well, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes, we have been going to pickup lines, several of them prior to that, and that's my magnum opus of pickup lines.
Where's your wife in proximity?
Sitting right next to me.
Oh.
All right, then how does the manager hear this?
She was within earshot, but I sort of know her. I was a little worried she might get a little tiffy, but I'm like, no one's around. She won't care. I was very wrong about that.
So she heard.
Comes over to me, says, that is not okay to talk to my employees that way. Like, I think she thought I was serious. I don't like who would think that's serious, first of all?
How about her saying my employees? I mean, no one owns an employee. Yeah,
autonomous.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You hear that?
Yeah, it was very, very weird. I've been going there a long time.
Right.
And, like, it was really bad. Like, it was the unspoken thing was like, you better get out of here. And
Fondelier is an associate.
Okay.
Did your wife chime in at any point, like, to try to, like, normalize the situation?
She was sort of surprised. She sort of had a feeling this was a bad idea. She saw me winding up on that one because she's heard it before. And she's like, she goes, no, because the owner manager is not only is she a little bit woke, she's sort of, I don't know, how do I say this politely? She's of the ilk that you would maybe think would not take kindly to these things, but I've known her well enough over the years where I didn't think, and she knows me, I'm there all the time. So the wife was like, no.
Well,
and then I did it anyway, and then things went out of
control. All right, let's backtrack for the pickup line itself. How much do you charge for premature ejaculation?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
That means you're talking to a prostitute, right? It's not picking up at a bar party.
No, it means that you just creamed your pants because the chick's so hot. You're trying to tell her how hot she is.
I know, but most gals don't
charge
for sex. Yeah. That makes you a prostitute.
I know, but it's the second line. I think I might owe you $50.
I got you. I wouldn't have been offended.
That's the punchline that makes it
all right, so you say this, and no one is within earshot except for the person that heard it, who's standing within earshot, right?
Right. The bartender who I had been chatting with about pickup lines for the previous few minutes.
Now, did the bartender try to put it in some context? Because maybe the bartender could have turned the temperature down a little bit.
No, she's a young girl. She's in her 20s. She was scared. She didn't want to run afoul of the woke police there.
So what happened?
It was just
and then how was the ride home with your wife?
The wife was like, what the hell were you thinking? You know, and I'm like, well, they know me. I mean, it's such a silly line. It's not like it's so stupid that it's funny. And I just thought there's no one on earth would get that offended by something like that. Like, who would say that seriously? That's the other thing.
Right.
But it was a little uncomfortable. The wife mostly agreed that she went a little nuts, but the wife was also embarrassed.
But
so
you saying to the manager, cool your clit, sugar tits, in response probably exacerbated things in retrospect, right?
Looking back, that's what I should have done, to be honest with you.
So did you get a permanent ban?
Unspoken.
I think it's unspoken.
Shadow ban.
I'm not going back. I'm not going back.
It
was very, very uncomfortable.
Do you go there just to drink, or do you
as well.
Or to harass bartenders.
No, we eat, okay. We drink. I mean, I've been going there for the better part of a decade.
Well, find one of the new Hooters with the new outfits.
That's right.
It's probably a more tolerant environment for folks like you.
Then you can ask the waitress if she likes her eggs scrambled or fertilized.
You can't say charge when you're talking to a lady.
Yeah, I was a little confused.
Clear implication.
Yeah.
Andrew, 48, Washington.
Hey, guy.
Hi, guy.
Calling you right up the road from Lewis and Clark State College.
Oh,
just
man.
To give you a little proximity there.
Oh, man. I could have been a big man on campus over there.
The legend that never was.
Yeah. Lewis and Clark, heavily recruited by Lewis and Clark. I was from North Hollywood.
I'm calling you about another Lewis, Adam.
Hmm.
You guys were talking about just being on the periphery of Hollywood earlier, and you living, you know, where you live, SoCal and such, riding around the car with Al Lewis, being slapped by Al Lewis. It was coming up a lot lately, so I decided. Another guy talks a lot about Al Lewis's Gilbert Gottfried, and I know you took the vending machine out a long time ago, but can we get him back on the show and you guys could chat?
Yeah, I love talking to Gilbert.
Yeah, he always talks about the 80s, you know, when he would go to, Al Lewis would go to the Goldstein, you know, the brunches in New York, you know, the bolo tie cowboy hat phase.
Yeah, Grandpa Al turned into sort of cowboy Al at a certain point, and then like had a restaurant in New York City.
I guess his visage was on the outside of it, and he was there a lot too, a lot like Alan Hale.
The lobster barrel out here.
This is an Italian place called Grandpa's Bella Gente.
That sounds Bella like Gente. Grandpa Al Lewis. All right, Andrew, got anything else for me?
Oh, just other things. I mean, love hearing you guys talk about Windy City Heat and all that stuff, and just keep up the great work, guys.
Well, thanks. I rarely talk about Windy City Heat, but I appreciate it. It's a cult classic. A lot of people enjoy that movie. I don't know, you can watch it on YouTube or something.
I think so.
It is a hidden gem.
It's a hidden gem.
Hey,
Did
you know Al Lewis was a left-wing activist and ran as Green Party candidate for governor of New York in 1998?
Yeah, probably heard something listening to Howard Stern back in the day when he would pop up on Howard Stern now and again. So probably had some notions of that.
And
but, yeah.
Was your friend Dave, Ted, or Paul?
I knew all of them.
Okay.
There were younger, middle, and older, but Ted was more the middle
I
hung out with.
I'm just looking on Dave, Wiki here.
Dave's the one who had the Red Man tobacco pouches stapled to his wall to the point where...
The Wall of Fame.
The Wall of Fame, which is how many expired things of chalk could I have before I graduate high school. Although, let's not forget that Dave, the older brother... is when I was, when my dad in the mid-70s, I think like early mid-70s, he had some girlfriend on the west side or something, and I had to go along with him and hang out while he was visiting her one Sunday afternoon or something, and I had nothing to do at this girlfriend's house. That's when it was... I think it was like she had a son and he was off or out or something. And it was just, go in his room and pick out some board game or something, like occupy yourself,
yourself.
Go do something. Yeah. And that's
how Adam became a Scrabble champion.
That's right. That's when I found the unicycle in his room. And then I took the unicycle out to the front street and steadied myself on a car fender. And we were there all afternoon or whatever. And I just spent the entire afternoon out on this unicycle. And at some point, I got about three pedals into it. The thing about the unicycle is you take one pedal, you fall off. Right. You take one pedal. Once you make it two or three revolutions and you actually propel yourself like 8 feet away from the car fender, you're hooked. Really? You're like, oh, I'm in. Oh, now I got to be. And then it was time to go. So then I just, the whole ride home, I was like, unicycle, 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 unicycle. And then I looked at my dad and went, hey, can you tell, ask Ronnie Rubin if he could buy me a Schwinn unicycle. Like, it was unthinkable that anybody in my family would purchase a unicycle. There was a Schwinn shop that was in North Hollywood. It was a few blocks down the street. But the Schwinn shop, it would be like going into
Cadillac.
Barney's of New York and buying a bomber jacket or something in junior high. I was like, are you kidding me? It was $79 something. Yeah. Like,
I got to get rid of this money.
It was insane. Then I had this thing. Now, Dave was the older brother. And I had this, and I hadn't been hanging around with Grandpa and Teddy in a long while. Been a couple of years, went to different schools and stuff like that. Had this vague memory of Dave, the older brother. He had a Schwinn unicycle.
Mm.
I think he had one of those, like back in the day. Now he's chewing chaw and going, getting ready to go off to junior college and stuff. He's past his unicycle prime. And, we went back. I mean, so much fucking work being poor. It's like, we got to call up Dave
meet the guy, save
the thing. And then we got to get a ride over to Van Nuys and then see if Dave. And a flat tire in the backyard, not in the garage or anything, just uncovered, just gathering rust out in the backyard. And it's just blah. And then it was like, $10. And I was like, okay. And I just went and washed like 10 cars or something. I mean,
kid, get away from my car.
Yeah, we have to agree to this transaction.
Why would they even make you pay for it?
In an ass-backwards kind of way, their poorness and their thriftiness and their inability or reluctantness to do anything for anybody in their family just gave me this, okay, you got to do it yourself. Like, I don't even know if I was probably past the point where I asked them for stuff. It was clear it wasn't going to happen. So I was like, I got to go wash 10 cars. And I did. And I got my $10 and I bought it and, had a flat tire and it was like rusty and, everything. And then, but then I did what I did best. I got the SOS Brillo pad and I scrubbed it all up and got all the rust off it and WD-40 and lubed it up and made a new cover for the seat out of jeans.
I'd love to see this montage.
It would be inspiring. The seat was all cracked and busted up because it was, out in the rain. But I took, the part of the jean, you'd cut off the leg to make the cutoffs, and I fashioned myself like a denim seat cover, and I oiled the thing up, and then it was my beautiful little pony. And
until
I rode the shit out of it, then I broke my shoulder, then I tried to ride it with a big cast on my shoulder, and my mom probably took heat from folks in the neighborhood or faculty at Colfax Elementary that I was riding around a unicycle with a huge cast. They probably assumed I broke my shoulder on the unicycle in the first place. And then at some point, lent it out to a guy who's now deceased. And then he stole it. And then I never had another unicycle.
All's well that ends well.
That's right. All right. Last but not least, it was Dave Lewis who had the Schwinn.
Right.
Was also kind of ironic in that Schwinn made the best unicycles. I couldn't afford the worst unicycle, but I still ended up with a Schwinn because that's what he had. Also, the things, like, I get it. Like, if your kid goes, I want 80 pounds of fudge. Maybe you go, I don't think so. But when there's something like a unicycle, especially for me, it's the best $40 you'll ever spend in your life, because all I'm going to do is leave the house and never come back.
You'll be busy all summer.
I'll try to master this
fucking day. I'll be outside on this thing. I won't be asking for food or money or anything. I'll just, me and my unicycle, be outside. No,
couldn't be done.
Yeah. That was, well, you've heard it before, but that was my mom at her worst of all moms. when she went and talked to Chris, not the other Chris, but the Chris who stole the unicycle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
When she went and talked to his mom, I said, just go over there and tell him, what
they
do you mean
it.
You put the unicycle in my backyard? It's gone. It's never seen it before. I don't think she ever talked to her, but she just looked at me when I talked to her, and she said, if he put it in the yard, he put it in the yard. And that was the end of the unicycle.
So doting.
Con 28, Turkey.
Yes. How are you doing?
Good, Con from Turkey.
All the way from Turkey. It's a little late in the evening, but I was actually going to talk about something else, but the unicycle thing hits so close to home that
really?
I would just shortly want to mention, I was young in Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up, and my neighbor had bought a unicycle. He was one of those kids that had everything. His parents gave him everything, and I was one of those kids that was friends with him who would, you know, benefit off of him having all
yeah,
of this stuff.
Yeah, you live next door to that
never,
guy. It'll work.
Yeah. It was, you know, a friendship that is here to this day, almost 20 years later. But the unicycle just brought back such a memory that I couldn't believe that it hit so close to home. He had purchased it, and he tried to ride it a few times, like you said, you know, 1 feet, 2 feet, couldn't get very far. And I would try it with him on that day. And we finally got to that marker, like you said. For me, it wasn't 8 feet. It was about 5 feet where I got out and felt this freedom. And it was actually the only and last day that I ever rode a unicycle.
Oh.
But, that, you know, it hit so close to home that I had to at least... you know,
why didn't you talk your folks into one?
My folks, unfortunately, now they're in like a 12-year divorce, like a battle type of thing. At that time, they weren't very receptive. That was more my second home, first home, we could say. So I was mostly always there.
You imagine your kid wanting a unicycle and not getting him a unicycle? It sounds insane, right?
The only argument in our house is we have to wait for birthday or Christmas. He can't just have shit all the time.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, but thanks, Con. The thing that's interesting is when my kids want something, I go into a like posture of like, okay, how can I facilitate this? Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do? Now, maybe that's a little too much in the other direction, but the posture is they go, can you do this? And I go, let me figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was something that would have never happened in 10 million years, but when I was growing up. But I did shows till midnight or whatever in Philly, blah blah blah, back to the hotel room 1 a.m. Meet in the lobby at 7 a.m. 6 hours worth of flight on Sunday, got here, went to work, did a podcast, and went to the shop, had a couple hours of football with the boys, and it's getting like 4 o'clock. Pretty fucking long day for me at this point with the time difference. I'm gassed out. And of course, I get the call from my daughter. Hey, when are you going to be home? I'm like, 5.
Why?
Can you take us to the mall? When you and like my mom would have started screaming. Like,
she would have cut the phone cord.
I was like, I'm tired as shit. The mall's nowhere near my house. I'm just going to be walking in the door and collecting you and heading back out again kind of thing. And I was like, okay. Because I just like I try to facilitate as best I can. It's maybe low self-esteem. I don't know what it is. But it struck me. So you can be in that mode, or you can be in a kind of a neutral, buoyant mode, or you can be deflect mode. Like I realize if I said to my parents, hey, could I have, you'd be like, no. Like,
fire alarm, it's pulled.
Your default mode is no.
Yeah.
Like, that's your setting.
They coached you up quick.
Where we're at. Yes, they did. All right. Let me hit Simply Safe here. Once you're home to feel safer, there's no better time than now. This week, our friends at Simply Safe are giving my listeners, Adam Carolla Show listeners, early access to their Black Friday deal, 50% off everything you need, indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, around-the-clock monitoring by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. Named Best Home Security System of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report. Easily customize your system, and you can do it online in just minutes. Even get free custom recommendations. These are Simply Safe's biggest discounts of the year. Get a complete home security system starting at just over $100 with no long-term contracts or commitments. Supplies are limited. Take 50% off at Simply, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam today. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Every 60 seconds, not one, but two children are trafficked. And every 30 seconds, one is forced into exploitation for the purpose of heinous acts.
Human trafficking is happening in your own backyard. It is happening to your neighbors.
Many whom we see every day in our own communities, hidden in plain sight.
You know, there's kids out there that are being bought and sold 20 times a day.
We must bring the child back to the center of our care and concern. Today, we launch Goya Cares.
Goya Cares is committed to supporting victims and overcomers of trafficking and abuse to recover, restore, reconnect, and to shine the light that will block traffic.
This is where we become the light.
God saved me. I believe that I was called to this. Perhaps he's calling you to
block traffic.
Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, if you can believe it, there's more bad news revolving around the Rust movie.
Really?
The movie set in New Mexico has been shut down in the wake of a deadly shooting. We know about that. But that's not it. Jason Miller, that's not all, rather. A worker who was hired to take down the set was bitten on the left arm by a poisonous brown recluse spider and is in the hospital with a deep wound which could require amputating his arm.
Wow.
The venom has also made him very ill. According to TMZ, he's preparing to sue for workers' comp. So it's like there's like a whammy on this set. Meanwhile, Alec is starting to sort of slowly chime in now. He's saying he's urged the Hollywood producers to hire police officers on film and TV sets that use guns. In a tweet he put on Instagram, he said, "Every film and TV set that uses guns, fake or otherwise, should have a police officer on set hired by the production to specifically monitor weapons safely."
Defund, I say. Yeah, I was talking to Gergas because when Baldwin did his impromptu roadside interview.
A little press conference.
Gergas is always like, don't talk. Don't. I mean, he goes nuts when his clients start wanting to talk.
Oh, then he must have loved Hilaria.
Yeah, no, zero upside with tons of potential downside. And at some point in that conversation, I can't remember if we got into it here, but he was like, "We were a well-oiled machine." It's like, oh boy, don't say don't say that kind of stuff. It's all just red meat for the prosecution.
Wow.
So
because all his overarching theme was, we are so devastated, and he should have maybe left it at that, or not even that.
You know what Mark says is, you just got to go nothing. You just have to go nothing. As much as you want to talk, as much shit as everyone else is talking, you got to go into cone of silent mode.
But what about?
But
like,
it's also weird to go, we were a well-oiled machine when someone was shot to death on the set.
But and I kind of brought this up, and you explained that too. Like it was a different time, essentially. But like with Monica Lewinsky, like if you do something like this, if this happens on your watch, and you go completely silent, wouldn't a jury be like, heartless? He didn't even care. What did he do? Go on vacation? He didn't even say, our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, it's just, regardless, there is never a transcript for silence. And when there's a transcript, there's always something to mine from it. Now, sometimes you mine a lot of good ore from that transcript. Sometimes you just get a little nugget.
A little shake.
But it's still, there's something to mine.
Yeah, there. Interesting.
And I was saying, you know, when they were talking about, I kind of made this analogy, which is, you know, people are like, what were they doing, you know, doing target practice with the gun, firing the gun? I said, well, I kind of made this analogy. I said, well, they're out in the middle of nowhere. When you shoot a film, there's lots of downtime. They have to do the setup and move Video Village. And if there's a lot of people, don't have a lot to do for a long period of time. And they're in the middle of nowhere. And I think they were entertaining themselves. And I would say, you know, if you, and they're going, yeah, but using the gun. And I was like, well, if you were doing a movie where he had a bunch of, you know, you're doing a Mad Max type movie and you had a bunch of marauding dirt bikers or something, and there's long periods of downtime and you're just sitting in the middle of an empty desert, I bet there'd be some crew guys who would fire a few up and do a couple hot laps. It's not that different.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Did you see,
Jennifer Tilly tomorrow, Gina Grad.
What?
Jennifer.
Oh, my goodness.
Tilly.
I am so excited to have me on.
Tomorrow.
You have no idea.
Talk poker with her, with
oh,
you.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I know everything about poker. What do you want to know?
What's the river?
Ha!
The river is the cards in the middle, Mr. Poker Player.
Oh, so I always thought it was a Bruce Springsteen album, but it's
also a Garth Brooks song, if you must know.
But
It's a widely accepted poker term, yeah, the river.
Are you still, you were pretty close with Sam Simon from the.
I was.
I got the right Tilly.
I was. Yeah, no, it's not my sister, Meg, it's me. And remember when when we were going through that split up and I said, nobody better get their hands on my Simpsons money.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Well, it'll be good to talk to you a little more in depth tomorrow.
Enchanted.
Yeah, me too.
Here's a name we haven't heard in a while. Oscar Pistorius.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You might remember him. I'll help you out. He was the South African double amputee track star who was convicted of fatally shooting his girlfriend in 2013. He's now eligible for parole, but with a twist. Very interesting thing that they do over there. So the 34-year-old, he became known as the Blade Runner, you remember, from his prosthetic legs. He became a worldwide phenomenon during the 2012 Summer Olympics. And on Valentine's Day in 2013, he shot and killed his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, in his home and claimed he thought it was an intruder. But remember, she was like locked in the bathroom and it was
shot
kind of an unlikely story. Yeah. He was convicted of murder. He was sentenced.
It was a high crime area. Like a lot of people were breaking in and stuff. And he was kind of making the argument of, I feel very vulnerable because of my condition. But shot through the door seemed
through the
weird.
Bathroom door.
And then there was a lot of, they used to argue all the time or some version of that, which it's kind of neither here nor there, but there was something to it.
Well, listen to this sort of twist. He's supposed to be sentenced to 13 years, but under South African law, he became eligible for parole after completing half of his sentence and now must meet face to face with Steenkamp's parents, who will have input as to whether or not he gets parole. Mm-hmm. So you meet with the victim's family and they weigh in.
This is a rom-com.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. She was model, a television actress or some version or something. She was just pretty blonde. And he woke up in the middle of the night. It's kind of weird. Like, did they sleep together? Was she out? Fired through the door?
Yeah. I thought they were fighting and she went to the bathroom. But again, this was 8 years ago.
Yeah, to be fair to him, you know, he's been hearing that starter's pistol damn near his whole life. Yeah. So probably, you know, the barrier to squeezing the trigger, not probably
like
as
the rest
strong
of us.
Like
sure.
The rest of us. You know, he's used to it. That's
it's
go
part
time.
Of his life.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting defense.
Oh, yeah. I would have made it.
As a former
South African defense attorney.
Hey, right. Speaking of guns, I have some unlikely bedfellows that make perfect sense when I'm going to tell you the story. It's going to make sense. The Texas Tribune reports that abortion rights advocates have found a very unexpected ally in their fight to overturn Texas's controversial abortion law, and that ally is gun rights advocates.
Mm.
Can you kind of see a connection? I'm going to make it a little clearer. The concern was first introduced in court by the Firearms Policy Coalition. That's a California-based nonprofit that advocates and defends gun rights laws nationally. And the group authored a type of filing offering information to the court in support of abortion providers. The Firearms Policy Coalition said Texas's law was written in a way that could provide a blueprint for other states to restrict gun rights by making it nearly impossible to challenge a state in federal court. So we know that Texas is doing this thing where the government's like, it's not us. You guys sue each other. And I think the gun rights advocates are seeing the writing on the wall and going, oh, we don't want to be sued by these guys.
Well, everything is based on precedent. And then everything is based on never an apples to apples precedent. But hey, this thing's applying, kind of like what we want to do.
Yeah.
And then it's all just sort of about, do you want bigger government or smaller government? Do you want more government?
Personal freedom? No personal freedom?
Yeah, I think the guns guys are all into the small government and the personal freedom. So it makes, at least it's consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Change.
I couldn't tell you either way whether the people in this coalition are pro-choice or not pro-choice. I don't think that's the point. I think it's like you said, they see like, well, they're but for the grace of God go I. Let's not make it easier for them to do this to us.
Yeah. They probably skew a little more religious and a little less pro-choice in general, but gun is the first pro-choice.
Right. Just some breaking news here. You have a black JanSport fanny pack that will be delivered tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Because the ones I have are like very flamboyant. I won't do that to you.
Loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So I'll get it tomorrow and I'll bring it in the next day.
All right.
Did you guys see the video that went viral of Bezos's lady making the googliest eyes at Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this. Okay, so Jeff Bezos has jokingly threatened to kill Leonardo DiCaprio on Monday. Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, she was a former news person out here. Mm-hmm.
Fox, right?
Yep.
13.
I'm going to show you in a second. This video surfaced of...
Was this like at a climate summit or something?
No, this was at a film gala. This was an LA film gala. Mm-hmm. And she is, I mean, she's really throwing everything at Leo. So let's watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
What a charmed life she's led.
She must have had a couple of belts.
And Bezos standing there like yesterday's liver. So this has gone everywhere now. Everyone's seen it. And Bezos trying to have fun with it. He put up a tweet with a photo of himself. We have it. Standing over a sign reading, danger, steep cliff, fatal drop, with a caption, Leo, come over here. I want to show you something.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I should have said he's got a seat for him on the next to outer space.
It only goes one way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who among us, any one of you, with Leo sort of towering over you in a tuxedo, who among us wouldn't get googly?
Was Leo on an apple box or on the first step or something?
I think he was on a step, actually.
There was a serious step.
Even though Bezos is fairly diminutive, I think that he was talking to them on a step.
Because
he was towering over them.
God, the thing about the dudes in their sexual reach, like you think about a DiCaprio or Brad Pitt or something, they can stretch that shit out 40 years.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They can have a 40-plus year run of belle of the male ball.
Yep.
And could vanquish any woman.
Do you want to take a guess at how old Leo's current girlfriend is?
It's going to make my point. Bezos is 5'7".
Oh, my.
Never, that's reported.
It's funny. He never gets the Napoleon complex, but he's still 5'7". No. Leo is 6 foot. Leo must be 44.
I think he's 46.
He's
older than me.
46.
I don't, 46. How old's this gal?
23.
Yeah.
That's right.
Halfway.
Yes.
Leo will be 47 on Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And he's going to be dating his... You know, at some point...
He gets older, they stay the same age.
Yeah, one of his next girlfriends is 4.5 years old right now.
Yeah, like for sure.
Technically, because he's going to be mid-60s.
When he gets to 16.5 years, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Lock up your kindergartners.
Bezos kind of
won. My daughter's 5.
I said 4.5. Bezos, she's too old for
too old, long that's in the true. Tooth.
Bezos kind of won age appropriate with his gal. And did they get married?
I think it's still girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
I think he's still in the middle of those proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to extricate yourself from another multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're her? Do you just go along for the ride and just enjoy the shit out of
Which
this
one?
Life?
Sanchez?
Anyone?
Yeah, I mean, you just go along. You just, you know, let's not pressure him for marriage too much. I don't want to, you know, have him get cold feet or something.
I think
something.
You're getting enough out of the deal.
Show up and just enjoy.
I think so.
Not to be too crass about it, but Lauren Sanchez may have been in danger of aging out of the industry at a certain point soon. And so to fall upwards to Jeff Bezos' girlfriend is that is found gold
and a disgusting indictment on our society, because I think you're right.
Yeah, yes. I just know that the type, the cliche. Yeah.
DiCaprio's never aging out.
No. Well, in fact, I don't know if you saw that. It wasn't newsworthy, but Sarah Jessica Parker tweeting because there was some paparazzi candid pic of her at lunch with Andy Cohen, who's very salt and pepper hair and distinguished, nice looking man. Well, guess what? She had gray hair, too. And everybody lost their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what am I supposed to do? Not age. Andy next to me is almost fully gray, and it's like he was touched by God, but I'm this, you know, hag because I have a few gray hairs. Brian, don't.
Hold on.
Yes. I mean, and it's also, you know, she made her bones on being looking like who she looked like. Now she's having a harder time doing that.
But she's just still at brunch. She's not in makeup.
Yeah, I agree.
How dare she?
Yeah.
She'll learn a lesson from
I
this.
Know.
Gay guys love Sarah Jessica Parker, don't they?
And how?
Why do they love her so much?
Well, she was sort of the epitome of style and clever one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking cliches.
She was catty and she dressed fabulously. Yeah. You're told like it is.
She was the star.
Yeah. It's interesting. The show. It's interesting that there's a gay type of a female. You know, because
I know her well.
I'm trying to think that who are...
Pray tell, who is she?
Do you think she could get me a fanny pack?
I do. I think it's on its way.
Because I'm trying to think. I mean, you're not interested in women sexually.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But you definitely, you know, Kathy Griffin's got her gays and all that kind of stuff.
I was just thinking Kathy Griffin. Yeah.
Or is there a lesbian dude?
There doesn't seem to be, does there?
Nick Offerman. That's all I could come up with. I just mean, like, but you don't hear them.
No.
It's not the same thing,
no.
Right?
It's not a cultural, no, nothing.
Actually, okay, this is very narrow and specific, but there was more than one girl who ended up becoming or being lesbian later in life who was interested in me as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think I represented a non-threatening, soft. Very soft, not quite zoftic, but a little doughy.
You were the beard, as
yeah,
it were.
I was the, you know, the beard, the beardy boy.
I see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is happened, this happened more than once.
But yeah. It is interesting that women, well, it actually supports my theory in that.
What is it? What
is
it?
It's going to be good. And it's supported by the data. So this is just science. Gay men are attracted to men like that. They
we can all sign off.
And it's a commitment.
Yes.
You know, you there's no one foot in the dude kiddie pool. Right. You're in or you're out.
You're pot committed.
I do not know any straight guys who dabble or who go, well,
tried it. It wasn't for me.
What about Randy Wang?
If,
Ryan?
I'm going to go, I'm going to go less dabbling.
Okay.
I'm going to, what I'm saying is like, I'm not like, well, if I had a couple of White Claws and Vince Vaughn showed up,
I can't be held responsible for my actions.
I struggle
that
a little.
Dude, I could blow.
Right.
That doesn't exist. Women, a lot of lesbians formerly with Brian.
Yes.
And other people, you know, a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
I've always had this theory that a lot of women who are with women are half with women and the other half done with men.
It's both.
Had some bad experiences growing up, maybe bad stepdad, bad boyfriend, or whatever. Like, fuck it. I'm team Coos now.
Mm, is that what she says?
Yes. So they don't need... They don't have any fruit flies,
right?
You know, they don't need them. They're done with them.
Yes,
but the gay guys, they're not done with women. They're attracted to men,
but really
they still have a ton of friends and like to hang out in that whole circle. I mean, Andy Cohen is perfect. You know, all the Real Housewives and everything.
Yeah,
all right. That's my theory for the day.
Deep.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Cool your clit, sugar tits.
Gina, Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, we'll talk to Brian Kilmeade in a couple of few. First, there is Trico over a century ago. Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study your specific driving conditions to make sure they are ready for anything, even if it rains. Actual cats and dogs, although, like I said, if Phil hits that windshield, I don't even know if Trico is going to be able to clean up that mess. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact no matter what your driving habits. You'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. I got them on my rig. Brian's uncle said always go with Trico.
By name, he said.
Mm-hmm. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. To find a store near you and see the latest offer, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll do a one-on-one with Brian Kilmeade right after this.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.